The book of Philippians. Chapter number 1, we got to the introduction last week of the book of Philippians. And I tell you, as I get into this thing more and more, it is a blessing here in the book of Philippians. And it's got four chapters, all it's got, 104 verses. And the key phrase, or the key phrases, is joy, rejoice, and things of that nature. Just by way of introduction, by repetition, from last week, I'll remind you that the Apostle Paul is in a Roman jail cell. He's got hands behind his back. He's got shackles on his feet. And he's writing, he may not have his hands behind his back, but he's writing this letter to the Philippians, the people at Philippi. And if you remember, by way, just repeating some things, if you'll read Acts 16, if you wasn't here last week, the CD and the DVD is out on the table from the introduction to the book of Philippians. If you'll remember, this church was started by, thank you, I'll never say anything bad about you again. This church was started by three individuals, the Philippian jailer that said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And a lady by the name of Lydia was a seller of purple. She was a garment seller, sold linen and clothing of some kind. And then the demon-possessed lady that got saved. Those three people. Can you imagine starting a church with a jailer, a demon-possessed woman, and a woman that worked at the fabric store? And with those three people that got saved, Paul started the church at Philippi, and now he's found himself in prison in Rome. It's about 10 years later, and he writes this letter back to the church at Philippi, wants to encourage. Now get this, people, don't miss the point. He's in jail, he's got his feet in shackles, and he wants to write a letter to the church at Philippi to encourage them. And that's the whole point. Rejoice, joy, and all those kinds of things that you'll find in the book of Philippians. Now, I do want to show you a couple of other things. Notice in verse 1, Paul starts out, all of Paul's epistles start out with his name. He signs his name to all of these epistles. Now, he may have not have written every one of these with his own hand. Some, he had a secretary that wrote these for him. But here, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Verse 2, look. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 5. Some of you preachers that may want to preach on something, let me give you a good outline real quick. Verse number 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now. Notice verse 5. The fellowship in the gospel. Now I'll be talking a little bit about the fellowship of the gospel if we get to it. But I'll be honest. We may not can fellowship about fishing. I don't know that much about fishing. We may not can fellowship much about hunting. I know a little bit, but don't know a whole lot. We may not can fellowship a whole lot around a race car. I know a little. I study a little bit of it, try to get a sermon out of it, and that's about all I know. Don't know much else about it, but there's some things I know about, some things I don't. But there's one thing about it. If you're saved and I'm saved, we can fellowship in the gospel. We can fellowship and have fellowship talking about the Lord. Singing the songs we just got through singing, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. I know we didn't sing that, but Amazing Grace. We can have fellowship around that song if we're saved, the fellowship of the gospel. And then in verse number 7, he said, even as it meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds. See, there he proves he's in jail. And in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of my grace. Confirmation of the gospel. Well, verse 5, there's fellowship in the gospel. Verse 7, there's confirmation in the of the gospel. Well, I can tell you this, if you're saved, there will be some confirmation about that. There will be some confirmation that you are saved. There's some confirmation of the gospel. And you can preach on that a little bit. And then look at verse 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. The gospel needs to go further. The furtherance of the gospel. You know what you and I ought to be doing? Holy Hills Baptist Church, the furtherance of the gospel. Getting the gospel out. Furthering the gospel. And then verse 17, you'll see, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Now, can I say something? We don't have to agree on the gap theory. I could care less. It doesn't make any difference. I teach it. We teach it in the Bible Institute. There's verses there, and there's pros and cons on both sides. I don't have time to debate it. If you want to believe it, help yourself. If you don't, help yourself. I don't care. I'm not going to fight about it. I could care less where Cain got his wife. Don't really care about that. What you believe about certain frivolous things, we really don't care about. But there's one thing that you and I ought to be able and ready to fight over. The defense of the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. No water baptism included. No water baptism included. We get water baptized to show forth and give a good testimony that you are saved, but it don't wash your sins away and it don't save you. The blood of Jesus Christ saves you. And there's things that I will fight over. There are people in churches, and I hope you don't take me the wrong way, but there are churches in Dyersburg, Tennessee, maybe even tonight, but I know for sure on Sunday morning, they are going to be telling people the wrong gospel of how to get to heaven, and it makes me mad. I can't do much about it but tend to this pulpit and preach to my people the right way to go to heaven. There's not but one way, and it's through Jesus Christ, and we ought to be able to defend that and fight over that. All right, so there's the defense of the gospel. And then lastly, in verse number 27, at the end, I won't read the whole verse, time's sake, but at the end of verse 27, the faith of the gospel. You know what the faith of the gospel is? The faith, how you're saved, I'm saved, your faith, you're saved by the faith of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what's the faith of Jesus Christ? Well, I can tell you this, real quickly. The only illustration I got, it works pretty good, so here we go. A doctor can get together, matter of fact, a bunch of doctors can get together, and they can form a formula. And they'll put it in this bottle right here, and they say, this is the cure for the common cold. This is our work that we put into this thing. This is what we've done. We've labored over this. We've put blood, sweat, and tears into this bottle. We've stayed up endless nights, 12 and 13 and 14 hours a day, putting our work into this bottle. And if you'll drink this bottle, it'll cure you of the common cold. What's in this bottle is the faith of those doctors. And if you'll drink the faith of those doctors, you can be cured of the common cold. Well, I'll tell you this. What saved you inside this bottle is the faith and the work and the blood and the sweat and the tears and the long agonizing and the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said in this bottle is the cure for sin. This will cure you from sin. This way, if you'll drink this, it'll take you to heaven. Hallelujah. Well, there you go. That is what will save you. You know what your faith is? Hallelujah. Nothing I did. It's what's in there that saved me. It's what Christ did that saved me. It was His work. I didn't do anything to figure out the cure of the common cold. I didn't do anything to figure out how to forgive sin. Right. Jesus did that. All I did was took a drink.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the faith of the gospel. Now, turn, if you will. Wait. Philippians. Paul signed his name. Watch this. We may not get much further. Look at verse 2. Just some introductory things that I didn't get done last week, and then we're going to start in verse 1 and go. Verse 2. Grace be unto you, and what? Did you know this world's looking for peace? They're looking for peace. This world's looking for peace. They want world peace. They want peace in the Middle East. They want peace at home. They want peace at the church house. They want peace in their heart. They want peace everywhere. But you'll never find peace unless you have grace first. Grace be unto you. and peace. If you get the grace of God, you'll have the peace of God. If you get the grace of God, you'll be able to sleep good at night. I sleep good at night. Don't have to take a pill to go to sleep. Don't have to take a pill to wake up. Don't have to take a pill to speed up. Don't have to take a pill to slow down. Hallelujah. Grace, God's grace, God's wonderful grace. We talked about them in camels, the camels of grace. Then you can have peace. You can't have peace without grace. Now turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Look at this real quick, and then we'll go. Romans chapter 1. Now stay with me real quick now. Romans chapter 1. First word. Somebody holler it out when you get there. Paul. He wrote that one. Look at verse 7. It took him a little while, but verse 7. It won't take him very long. About 7 verses is the longest. The rest of them are pretty quick. It won't take very long. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. When you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, whoever gets there first, tell me the first word. Paul. Now some of you said it before you even got there. Paul. Why? Paul wrote it. Called to be an apostle. Look at, I think it's verse 3. Took him two verses before it come out of his mouth. Grace be unto you. And what? Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, take a guess what the first word is. Paul. And he's getting quicker. Verse 2, grace be unto you and what? All right, turn to Galatians chapter 1. First word, Paul. Verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a signature. You say, why in the world are you showing us all this? This is a signature of the Apostle Paul. Look at Ephesians. Book of Ephesians. Chapter 1. Somebody already said Paul. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul. Verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians, we've already read that one. Now look at Colossians. Paul. The middle of verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace. You see that thing? That's what he signs it as. 1 Thessalonians. Paul. First verse. Hey, boy, he's getting quicker now. About middle ways through there, he said, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians. Paul. Verse 2. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father. 1 Timothy, Paul. Verse 2. Grace, mercy, and peace. I wonder why he threw mercy in there when he was talking to a preacher. He's writing to this little Timothy. This Timothy, he's training up in the faith. He's a young preacher boy. And all of a sudden, he throws mercy in there. He said, Lord, I need mercy. This young whippersnapper. I need mercy. 2 Timothy. Same thing. Verse 2. Look at Titus. We're almost done. Paul. Verse where? 4. Grace, mercy, and peace. Titus, another preacher boy. Philemon. One chapter. Paul, verse what? 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Hebrews. Hebrews 1. First word. That's who wrote it. Now, big controversy over who wrote the book of Hebrews. Well, I just showed you the signature of the Apostle Paul. So you believe what you want to, but the first word is God, and that's who wrote it. All right, back to the Philippians. We've had fun with that. Philippians. Now, let me try to get just maybe the first two verses in and here before we go. All that introduction. If you want a good outline of the book of Philippians, let me give it to you real quick. It's the way a Christian looks. Chapter 1 is the inward look. Chapter 2 is a backward look. Chapter 3 is a forward look. Chapter 4 is an upward look. That's a basic outline of the book of Philippians. All right, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. Now, here is a simple layout for the way a church is to be laid out. Notice here that you do not have to be voted in to be a saint. You do not have to go before the Roman Catholic Church and get the cardinals to approve your sainthood. If you're saved and you're bought by the blood of the Lamb, you are a saint. Now go home and tell that to your wife. How did you know I was a saint? Well, she may not agree with you. Here's the thing. My inward man is a saint. The part that you see is not a saint. I know some of you think that. The part that Tracy has to deal with on a daily basis is not a saint. I was not a saint the other day. Got into it about something. We don't have arguments. We just have heated discussions. And she is a historian. When she starts arguing, she goes all the way back in history and brings up things and matters that pertaineth not to the things at hand. Anyway, I'm sorry. I just had a flashback. Anyway, if you're saved, you're a saint. If you're saved, there are two parts of you. There is an inward man. That's the saved part. The part that we still have trouble with that ain't saved yet, and some people are scratching their head when I say that, the outward flesh, I still have trouble with. You say, I don't have any trouble with my flesh. Okay, you pull out on that highway out there, and you let somebody run you off the road, saved or not, let's see if you have some trouble. Let's see if you don't just go like this. Get off the road. And saved or not, preacher or not. And that it gets on my nerves. People can't drive. Hallelujah. If you're going to drive slow, stay out of the passing lane. Or I'm going to bump you. I will get that close to your bumper. Move over. Learn to drive. Take the test again. If an arrow says merge, do not wait till the last minute and speed up and try to get in front of me. You won't do it. I'll run you into the blinking sign. I will not let you over. I'm confessing my faults one to another. I'm not going to let you over. I need help with my flesh. I need victory. But I am a saint on the inside. You understand? There's two parts of that. Okay. Now, here's the basic layout for every church. Ready? It's in the Bible. Paul, Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. Circle saints. Which are at Philippi. With the what? The bishops and the what? There is your order for church. The saints are first, then the bishops, then the deacons. That's the order. Now, most churches, I thank the Lord it's not here. Most churches read it this way. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the deacons, and then to the saints, And if we have time, we'll listen to the bishops. Most churches are deacon-run, committee-run. Hallelujah. Y'all don't get quiet on a Wednesday night. I thought I was preaching the Bible. The Bible will straighten out a lot of stuff. You won't find a committee in the Bible. You won't find a board in the Bible. Well, you will one time. Acts 28. Paul became shipwrecked. And it says they made it to land. Some on boards. That's the only time you'll have a board in the Bible. No such thing as a governing board. Well, I thought I'd get a little more help than what I'm getting. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, saints are first. You know who the bishops are servants to? To the saints. To the saints. And do you know who the deacons are servants to? They're helpers to the bishops. The deacons are helpers to the bishops, and the bishops serve the saints. It's the saints, then the bishops, then the deacons. Get it right. That's the way Paul laid it out. That's the only way it'll work. And let me help you. I'm saying for maybe somebody will get this tape and listen. If you're going to get you and hire you and vote you in a preacher, then follow him. If you're not going to follow him, get you one you'll follow. Get rid of that and get you one you will follow. Don't vote one in and don't follow him. Let me go over here. Vote one in, and if he's trustworthy enough to vote in, then trust him. And as long as he's staying with the Bible, as long as he's leading right, you follow him. Amen. Here's what you ought to do. It's the way I think it ought to be done, and I've been in several churches, and it's what I think. Pastor says, hey, the Lord's laid this on my heart, and I feel like leading us in this direction. You ought to go to the pastor and say, Pastor, have you prayed about this? Have you prayed about it? I sure have. God won't get this off of mine. This is God's direction. I feel like He's leading, and He wants us to go. All right, preacher. This is on you. This is on you. I'm behind you. You prayed about it? I prayed about it. Are you sure God's in it? The will of God. You read the Bible, and you got the will of God on this thing. I sure do. All right, I'm behind you then. If you fall, you're going to give an account. Watch this. Watch this one. The pastor will give account for the church at Judgment Seat of Christ, not the saints. The saints will give individual accountability for individual things. But guess who's going to stand accountable for Holy Hill Baptist Church? Amen. And so that's why every time you get ready to make a move, I get nervous. God, you in this? This way you want to go? I mean, lay up late at night and go, hey, is this where you want to go? God, I need you. I don't know which way to go. I need some help. I need some, amen. That's why you ought to be praying for your preacher. So this is the way it's laid out. Now, let me give you a few verses. Acts 20. Look at Acts 20 real quick. Acts 20. Let me run some of these verses real quick. Acts 20. I'll show you this. I was at one place one time, and I wasn't a pastor. I was a youth guy when I was growing up. And boy, they had a business meeting. I'm just talking until you get to Acts 20. They had a business meeting, and one of the deacons stood up and invited the preacher out on the parking lot. I'm a young guy, man. I'm like, I'm going to see this. Hallelujah. I learned a whole lot. Whew. Acts chapter 20. All right, Acts chapter number 20. Look at verse number 17. Verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the what? Elders of the church. Now you say, what in the world are elders of the church? Okay. All right, look at verse number 28. Verse 28, Take heed thereunto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you what? Overseer is the same word for bishop. Bishop and overseers is the same thing. So what is an elder? An elder and a bishop are the same thing. They're the pastors. To feed the church of God. That's what the pastor's job is to do. Which he hath purchased with his own blood. Of course, talking about the Lord. Take heed thereunto yourselves, the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. You see that? The bishops. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you exhort, whom am also an elder, Apostle Paul's an elder, witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. Preacher ought not be a dictator. Right. He ought to serve the people. Right. And lead the people. Not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for money. Right. Not do it for money. But of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. Don't be lords over people. Don't have your thumb on people. In other words, it's not Pope, Cardinals, Bishops, and then all of a sudden you get down to the saints. It's not that way. You can't be lording over the people. That's what it said, not being loved, but examples to the flock. Now watch verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory which fadeth not away. Chief shepherd appear, which gives the implication, when the chief shepherd shall appear, the pastor is to feed the flock of sheep. So that means the pastor is the under shepherd. Christ is the chief shepherd. So you've got three terms in the Bible used for your pastor. You've got elder, bishop, and a shepherd for your pastor. And that's what he's to do. And all right, back to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Well, we could have went to Titus. Let me look and see. I got that wrote down for some reason. I want to see. Titus chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordained elders in every city, as I have appointed thee." And then verse 7 says, for a what? Bishop. Ordain elders. And then verse 7 says, for a bishop. You see, bishop, elders used interchangeably. Same thing. Some churches have pastors, then have elders. It's in the Bible how you're supposed to handle it. All right. Now, back to Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. It has to be in that order, people, or God's church is not run properly. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 2. Let's move off of that. Verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have a peace unless you got grace first. Verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now, there are some folks that I remember, and I wished I wouldn't have remembered them. But the Apostle Paul, now some of y'all laugh. It's it's enough tension in here when you start talking about where everybody's place is. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. But read the Bible, you'll know where everybody's place is. You won't have any tension about it. Amen. And the Bible's very plain about that. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. All right? Verse 3 through 8. I'll give you this. We'll take some prayer requests. Verse 3 through 8 is Paul's remembrance. He's going to reminisce. He's going to recollect on some things about the church of Philippi. He's going to say, hey, I'm sitting in this jail. I got my feet shackled up. I get 3 meals a day. I don't have a good bed to sleep on. But I'm thinking of you people at Philippi. I'm praying for you people at Philippi. You know, something will really help you if you're down, discouraged, downtrodden. You feel like you're in prison. You feel like your hands are tied behind your back, your feet's tied, and the devil's got you in prison. Write you a letter to somebody to encourage them. Just sit down and write a letter of encouragement to somebody else. It'll do something for you. It's what Paul did. It's an example that Paul gave us. He said, I'm in prison. But he said, I'm thinking about you people. I'm praying for you people every day. Every day I get up and you're on my mind. Verse 4, always, in every prayer of mine, every time Paul prays, he's thinking of the church of Philippi. Always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy. I'm sitting in a Roman jail, and it's pleasing to me to be able to write to you to encourage you, and I take pride and I take joy in praying for each and every one of you. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Hey, from the first day until now, we've had fellowship. You're saved. I'm saved. We had that fellowship together, the fellowship of the gospel. We could fellowship around the gospel. And I'm going to read verse 6. I won't have time to expound on it. But verse 6, being a great one of the greatest promises in the Bible, you ought to memorize this verse right here. Philippians 1, verse 6. Paul said, being confident of this very thing. Paul, what are you confident in? That he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Who started a good work in you when you got saved? The Holy Spirit of God. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. He started a work on the inside. He moved in on the inside. And this is a guarantee. This is a promise you can cling to. If, the Holy Spirit that has begun a good work in you when you got saved, He started a work. He's not going to take a lunch break. He's not going to take a 3-week vacation. He's not going to stop short of 5 o'clock. He's going to work around the clock to make sure you are worked and performed until you get to heaven. He's guaranteeing you, if you're saved and the Holy Spirit starts to work, He's not going to finish it until it would be a sad thing on the Holy Spirit. It would be a sad thing to stand before God and say, Lord, I lost my salvation. It was the Holy Spirit's fault. He was supposed to take care of this thing and He didn't do it. You think that's going to happen? Uh-uh. Holy Spirit says, I guarantee I'm going to perform the work till you get to heaven. That ought to send us out of the building shouting. He keeps you saved in the middle of the night. You ever worry? I don't worry about it. Holy Spirit, this is on you. Jeremy, you still saved? I used to ask my uncle that all the time. My uncle, if he ever heard this, he would laugh. Every time I'd see him say, Uncle, you still saved? It's what he'd say. I ain't got anything to do with it. You know what he meant? That's up to the Holy Spirit. You still saved? That's the Holy Spirit. I mean, no, that's up to Him. He ain't going to let you fall. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, that's going over pretty good. All right. Well, I'm just glad I'm saved. Y'all can worry about it in the night if you want to. I ain't going to worry about it. I'm going to go home, take 2 baby aspirins, go to sleep. If I don't wake up, that's fine. Last breath I'll take here will be the next one I take up there. No problem. Y'all roll me down here and tell everybody. Just don't tell them I died because I didn't die. I just changed addresses. And that old me that I was talking about a while ago that gets mad about everybody on the highway, y'all going to put that part of me in the ground. The saved part of me is going to heaven. And then one of these days, the Lord's going to come back and get that old part that ain't saved yet, and He's going to save it. It's called the redemption of the body. And then he's going to join that thing together with the saved heart up there. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, I thought that'd get some of you going, but it didn't work either. All right. Let's have some prayer requests.